We've been asking the question all week long, are you ready? And even people meet me in the parking lot now, won't know if I'm ready. So y'all ain't going to forget this, are you ready? Amen. And the first one we looked at is, are you ready for your trial of faith? And boy, that's a big one, don't you agree? Last night we looked at, are you ready to go? Because too many people sitting, don't you agree? And then the third question tonight is probably the most popular question. Anytime you get ready to go somewhere, wherever it's at, school, work, especially church, are you ready to get dressed? You ready to get dressed? Because all of you tonight got ready to come. I can tell by looking at you. As far as I know, nobody's here in their pajamas. We got ready, did we not? You had to get ready to be here. Why did you get ready? Because you're going to be around people. If you're going to be around people, you got to get ready, do you not? And I don't know about you, but I like to look good. I like it when I get ready and my wife says, you look good. And I'm like, hallelujah. I'll remember this outfit. Amen. Yeah, you ever had a day at home and you're like, man, I look too good today. I think I'm going to go somewhere. So you made your way to Pals? Yeah. See, I figured out around here. I mentioned it last night. Some of you, amen, that Pals is a religion in East Tennessee. I wouldn't dare badmouth Pals up here because y'all wouldn't ever invite me back again. So if you're going to be ready, that means you're going to be around people. Now, I'll be honest with you. Tonight's message is to me, and it hurts, and it hits hard. But did you know God cares how we are to other people? It is a big deal. And the reason it's such a big deal is because God loves people. They just got through singing. The only reason he went to the cross, the only reason he died was because he loves people. He loves people. And he loves you and he loves me. And he wants us to have a good relationship with people. And he cares how we react to people. But what I figured out is this. God loves people, but there's days I just don't like people. Are you that way too? Now, some of you are from very spiritual Baptists. I can tell by looking at you. Because when I said that, you're like, that ain't me, bless God. No way. Listen, you're lying tonight. If you've been around people long enough, people are going to affect you negatively. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you. And there's one thing that Brother Rick was sharing with me, and he's, you know, hitting just different things. We talked about our life in church and different things in church. And church people will hurt you. You know, some of the worst hurt is church hurt. And the reason is because you expect something from God's people. You expect God's people not to hurt you. So we put our heart out there, and we love them, and we trust them, and we find out they're sinners too. But we're all sinners, are we not? And tonight, here's what Paul tells the church at Colossians. He says, you need to put on something. In other words, we all put on physical clothes tonight to get dressed and get ready to come. But we need to put something else on to be around people. And that doesn't mean we're being a hypocrite. But if we're going to be around people, we got to make sure we're doing it God's way. We got to dress up in our spiritual clothes. And if you're saved, the Bible talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And there's certain things you put off and certain things you put on. And he says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, listen to what he says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. He just got through saying a mouthful, don't you agree? And those verses right there are difficult to live. But I believe that's the key. That's the key to putting on what God wants us to put on, to deal with people and to be around people. And if you don't put that on, let's be honest, you cannot be right with God if you're not right with your fellow man. I'll say that again. It is impossible to be right with God and not to be right with your fellow man. If you're here tonight and you have bitterness and you have anger and you have wrath and you have malice and you're a gossiper and you're a backbiter and you're a criticizer and you're Mr. Negative, let me tell you something. You can never take a drink and you can never take a smoke and you can sing in the choir and you can memorize your Bible and you can pray and you can fast and you can do all that stuff, but you are completely 100% out of the will of God. And the reason our churches are in the shape they're in is because that has become a trademark of God's people. And it's time that we, you know, the Ten Commandments, half of the Ten Commandments tell us how to deal with our fellow man. It's more than just about my relationship here. This relationship completely affects this relationship. And when God saved me, He put something in me. And if you don't have a love for people, then let me tell you something. You better check up on your salvation. Because the Bible says that how can a man say he loves God if he don't love people? God loves people. That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason Calvary exists. That's the whole reason He sent His Son. That's what this whole thing's about. And He wants us to reach people and to care about people. And He says here in Colossians chapter 3, there's some things we need to put on if we're going to be around people. And it ain't just people around church. It's people around my job. It's people around my school. It's people everywhere I go. It's people in my house. Amen? It's people in my family. It's everywhere I go. God wants me to be a minister, to care and to love other people. And it is a big thing to God how I minister and care and how I reflect Him to other people. And He says I need to put some things on. So tonight we need to see, am I ready? Am I putting on what I need to put on to be around people? Just as sure as you put on church clothes, you need to put on your every single day. If you'll put these things on, it'll change your life, I promise you. It'll change your family. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your relationship with your brother and your sister. It'll change your relationship with your children. It'll change your relationship with church people. It'll change your relationship with your friends. It'll change your relationship with your enemies if you'll put them on. First thing we need to put on is this. He says in verse number 12, He says, put on, therefore, as elect of God. How many of you are saved? Say amen. Amen. That means you are the elect of God. So this commandment is to you. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Bowels there in your King James Version means, and we say, from the heart we love people, from the bottom of my heart. Don't we say that? Well, see, we're in the Western culture. And the heart, when we talk about it, is the very seat in the very bottom of our emotions and our intentions. In Greek culture, they use bowels for that. So when He says bowels of mercy, He means from your very deep part of your being, from the bottom of who you are, put on mercy. Why do I need to put on mercy? Because people need mercy. And you need mercy. Aren't you glad God had mercy on you? This is what mercy is. Mercy means you showing compassion or pity or kindness to another person, and you have the power to cast judgment or harm upon them. So if I have the power to pass judgment on somebody, or I have the power to criticize somebody, I have the power also to have mercy on them. So if I'm going to have mercy on people, then that means I'm not going to be too hard on them. That means they may deserve judgment. They may deserve my opinion. They may deserve something, but I'm not going to give it to them because I'm going to have mercy on them. You know what that is? That means God had mercy on me, so I'm going to have mercy on you. Mercy will affect how you react to people everywhere you go. What if we quit being so hard on people? What if the trademark of the church wasn't judgment, but it was mercy? Wouldn't a sinner want some mercy? You know what a lot of sinners are looking for? Mercy. mercy. See, they don't need your judgment because the Holy Spirit will convict them of where they're at. He'll show them where they're at. And they need to know they can find mercy at the church. They can find mercy among God's people. And we're not too casting judgment on them. You know what that means? That means when I get on my Facebook or on my social media, I'm not too quick to cast my judgment. Amen? But I'm showing mercy. Now go on down and we say this. Not only are we getting upon mercy, but we're putting on some kindness. He says in verse number 12, vows of mercy, and then he says kindness. Aren't you glad that God was kind to us? Titus chapter 3 verse 4 says, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared toward men. The Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 11 verses 29 and 30, isn't it something that Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened, heavy laden. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me. In other words, aren't you glad He's kind? How many of you are scared to talk to Jesus? You know why? Because you trust His kindness. I'm not scared to go in my prayer closet and talk to Him. Because He's got kindness towards me. You know, everywhere He went, He showed kindness. Matter of fact, the Pharisees got mad at Him. So He was kind even to the tax collectors. He was kind to even the sinners. And then the Sadducees couldn't believe He was kind even to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees couldn't believe that He was kind even to the Sadducees. He was showing kindness everywhere He went. That should be our trademark, should it not? So it's been vows of mercies and kindness. And I have to admit, these first 2 points, they don't really apply to you people around Bible way much because y'all are about the sweetest people I ever met in my life. I mean, y'all are sick and sweet. Y'all are super kind. But, are you that nice at home? Now, come on. Are you that nice to your family? Are y'all just super nice to me because I'm the visiting preacher? Have y'all figured out how to walk in church? You know, church people figure out how to turn that on. I figured that out. And I laugh at, you know, we got the church talk. Hello, brother. Bless God, sister, I'm blessed. How about you? Blah, 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 blah. And I bet when you get home, you're like, where's the remote? You lost it. Not on me. Blah, 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 blah. Wait, what we done? We took our clothes off when we got home is what we done. But the kindness should be at home also, should it not? By the way, shouldn't we be nicer to the people that we're supposed to love the most? I mean, I'm a general contractor back in Asheville, North Carolina, and I can be on a job, and an electrician, a plumber, HVAC guy, they can answer their phone, and I can tell you if it's their wife. By the way they talk. The whole talk, they talk to me like, yeah, how you doing? La, 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 la. Yeah. The kindness goes, does it not? And we need to put that on everywhere we go because God will put us all together and binds us together. But then we go on and look what else He says. Not only put on that mercy and put on that kindness, but we're going to go a little further. We're going to dig deeper and make sure we're putting on something that's going to help us, not hurt us. He says in verse number 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. This is the hardest one to put on. You ready? It's called forgiveness. Now, I believe God wants us to go right here tonight and park for a little while. It's called forgiveness. And if you don't put this on, you're going to die. There's going to be a poison that's going to come in your life and it's going to eat you alive. And that poison's called unforgiveness. And it's called bitterness. And it's killing our churches. And it's killing our minds. And it's killing our homes. And it's killing our families. And it's destroying our marriages. You say, what do you mean? Has somebody done you wrong? Let me ask you, how many people have done you wrong? Of course they have. People hurt us, do they not? People betray us. Like I just got through saying, God's people can hurt you faster than anybody else. Your family can hurt you more than anybody else. You know, when the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, you know how why you can grieve Him? Because He loves you so much. You know who can hurt you the most? The people you love the most. That's who can hurt you the most. And forgiveness is something that we grant somebody that they do not deserve. Forgiveness is something we grant somebody even though they've hurt us. You ever had a church person criticize you? You ever had a church person you found out you thought there's your friend and found out they're talking about you behind your back? Pastor Rick, you ever ministered to somebody? Poured your heart and soul into them and found out there's the very ones that was running you down and hurting you? Hurts. It hurts. Church hurt is big hurt. Let me ask you this. You ever had family hurt? Some of you in here, you know what it's like to stand at an altar and take a vow to another man, take a vow to a woman that you would love them, you would honor them, you'd serve them till death do you part. You'd stay faithful to them, and they gave you that vow and you trusted them, only to find out they broke that marriage vow and they broke your heart. That hurts. Amen? Some of you in here, you may not have had the experience I had. You trusted your mom. You trusted your dad. I only find out that's the person that abused you. I only find out that's the person who mistreated you. That hurts. That hurts bad. Some of you know what it's like. I know what it's like to think somebody's your best friend. Think you've got a bond with somebody. And find out they've completely turned and went the other way and stabbed you right in the back. Hurts. Now tonight we don't need to sweep it under the rug and say, well, I'm spiritual, it's not supposed to hurt. God doesn't tell you that.
That's right.
It does hurt. Matter of fact, if you read the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's in prison and he's writing. And I believe he pens these words, Pastor Rick, all men have forsaken me. You know what he's feeling? Forsaken. Forsaken. Jesus knows how it feels. On the cross, his disciples, gone. All those people that followed him just days before that were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Here he comes, gone. They're gone. Where is Lazarus that he raised from the dead? Where's Bartimaeus? Where's the leper? Where are they at? All men have forsaken him. He knows what that feels like. Pain is real. Hurt is real. What am I going to do? I've got to find something to put on to be ready to deal with somebody else. And God wants you to put on forgiveness. And that's easier said than done. But forgiveness means this. Forgiveness means I'm going to bear somebody else's burden. When Jesus forgave me, He bore my guilt. He bore my burden. And you know when He forgave me? Before I ever done Him wrong, He forgave me. Chose to forgive me. Isn't that wonderful? Tonight, the best thing about being saved is not streets of gold. And it's not gates of pearl. It's I'm forgiven. See, salvation's about a sin problem. Forgiven. And so what we need to see tonight is He tells us, put on forgiveness. Why should I forgive you? Because you apologize? No. Why should I forgive you? Because you're willing to make it right? No. I forgive you for one reason. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I choose to forgive you based on what God did for me. Turn with me to Matthew 18. I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 18. And while you're turning there, think about this. Jesus Himself spoke a parable on forgiveness. And He said, this is important for you as a servant to do. Matthew chapter 18. He says this. Verse number 21, Peter came to Him and he said, Lord, How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which take account of his servants. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, all that he had, in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and he worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him, and he forgave him the debt. You know what that's a picture of? You and me. I owed my master, I owed the Lord a debt that I could not pay. If you're reading the Bible there and you're making notes in verse number 24, when it says he owed him 10,000 talents, commentators say that would be valued in today's U.S. dollars between $12 million and $1 billion. He owed a debt he could not pay. It was bigger than he could ever work off. Imagine owing somebody between $12 million and $1 billion. And they say, now it's time to pay up. And you say, I can't pay, it's impossible. And he says, well, we could sell your wife and sell your children, sell all you have. It's time you owe me. But that man fell down and said, have mercy on me and forgive me. And the Bible says he did that. I don't know about you, but that's what happened to me one night. You know what Holy Spirit conviction is? When God shows you that you owe a debt that you cannot pay, he convicts you of your sin. I don't care if you're a church boy, a church girl, you're a drunkard, you're a drug addict. I don't care what you are. You're a sinner that owes God a debt that you cannot pay. And God one night, he arrested me and he showed me, backed me in a corner. And New York conviction is this. I realized there's no way out of this. There's no way out of this. And I fall down on my knees and I say, oh God, have mercy on me. And he says, based on what Jesus did, I have mercy on you. Some people wonder why he gets so happy about somebody getting saved and he cries and acts like that because he's been saved. Well, let me tell you something. You ever realize what God did for you? You might cry. You ever realize what a debt he forgave you for? You might shout. You might get a little happy. You might raise your hand and say, well, glory! Because you owe something you cannot pay. You know what I figured out? The people that shout the most is the people that usually would live the worst. I've noticed this. You find a guy and he was wrapped in drugs and he was addicted and he lost everything he had, lost his wife, lost his children, lost his job, he's been in jail, and all of a sudden he hears the gospel one day and God saves him. You find him sitting in the church service and they start singing Because He Loves Me. Hey guys, where glory? He'll go, why? Because he's just overcome with it. You go over here, you find the guy that got saved when he was 10 years old, been in church his whole life, and he gets saved. Let me tell you something. You got forgave just as much. You need to realize you was just as bad a sinner as that guy over there. You owed a debt you could not pay. That's what forgiveness is. Isn't it wonderful? Some people come to church and say, how come y'all act so happy? Because we're free. Free! There's nothing like being free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Isn't it wonderful to be forgiven? All right? So that'll make you happy on a Tuesday night, won't it? So we're free. That's us. That's us in Matthew 18. But then it says this, verse 28. But that same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. That's us too, by the way. That's us too. 10,000 talents is equivalent to between $12 million and $1 billion. 100 pence is equivalent in those days to 100 days' wages. Commentators say that is 0.00001% of what you got forgiven for. And look at how he's acting. And he finds somebody owes him that, takes him by the throat, and says, pay me that thou owest. And he's mad because somebody is indebted to him. Look what he does. He goes on. He don't just take him by the throat and say, you pay me what you owe me. Verse 30 says, or verse 29 says, his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant? You know what God's trying to, you know what Jesus himself is trying to teach us there? If you've been forgiven, why don't you show forgiveness too? Ephesians 4:32 tells us that. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God forgave me for Christ's sake. You know why I forgive you? For Christ's sake. You don't deserve it. But you hurt me. And you shouldn't have said that. And I'm wounded. But I'm forgiving you because I know what it's like to be set free. I don't want you to live in that prison. I forgive you. You hear me, church? What if everybody here tonight was to say, I'm completely right with God and my fellow man? You say, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know the pain. You don't know the thoughts that go through my head. And it just tears me up. There's a place called Calvary. Go there and say, Lord, I've been here and I was set free. And I'm coming here and I'm going to set them free. Because if you don't, you know what you're actually doing? You're holding them in a prison. And what you don't realize, follow me. Let's say this is a prison. See them bars? I'm holding them in a prison because they've done me wrong. They hurt me. And I know what it's like. Listen, I've had family hurt. I've had family hurt. I know what it's like to be hurt by the people that you trust the most. I've had church hurt. I've had preacher hurt. I've had missionary hurt. You name it. I know what it's like. And tonight, your story may be different than my story, but let's be honest, it still hurts. And I know what it's like to hold them in that prison. And while you're holding them in that prison, look carefully. They're behind bars, but I'm also behind bars. I'm in a prison. You know what my prison is? My prison is bitterness. My prison's unforgiveness. And my prison's malice and anger. And I can't get out of this prison. And that's the reason it goes in my mind constantly. And that's the reason I can sit in church and I have no joy. And that's the reason I can't have a burden for a lost person. And that's the reason I've gotten hard-hearted towards people. And that's the reason I've lost my compassion. It's because I'm mad at that person. And they should have never done it. And I'm holding myself in that prison. And let me tell you something, that's a miserable place to be. But there's person after person, hundreds and hundreds and millions that could testify that have been in this prison. And that person never made it right. But one night they got out. And they can tell you there's nothing like that burden being free. And saying, God, they don't deserve it. But because you forgive me, I'm going to forgive them. When you start living in that lifestyle and putting on that forgiveness, follow me. You start putting on that forgiveness, you'll find out you can be free. Of anything anybody does to you, you can be free. Because I'm putting on forgiveness. And as long as you go to church, people are going to hurt you. Because you're around people. Remember, these clothes are probably around people. Let me tell you this. As long as you're in a family, they're going to hurt you. Did you know that? My daughter's there sitting back there tonight. She come, drove all the way from Asheville to hear me preach tonight. Her and my son-in-law. Thrills me. But you know what? I'm going to hurt her one day. I don't mean to, but I'm sure I'll hurt her. And she'll hurt me. I've been married to my wife for 28 years. I've hurt her more than anybody I've ever hurt on the face of this earth. You know what marriage is? Constant forgiveness. Constant forgiveness. If you don't learn to forgive, you're going to live in a prison in your marriage. Some of you men are so bitter towards your wives that the sound of their voice makes you want to throw up. You laugh, but you know it's true. And some of you wives, listen, some of your wives, your husband, all you know how to do is... You know why you roll your eyes at him all the time and blow at him? Because you're so mad at him. You got so much bitterness in your heart. And let's be honest, you don't even like him. And the only reason you're married is because you know you can't leave. But inside you, it's bitterness. And it's swelling up. You know what it's time to do tonight? Put on the clothes. And you have to intentionally put them on. It's called forgiveness. Forgiveness. And if you don't put it on, you're living in a prison. And not only that, you know what Jesus calls you? That wicked servant. Think about that. Think about that. What if, you know what, Brother Roy, we've been praying for revival, praying for God to move. And if you've studied revivals, Pastor, you study these revivals, some of the breakthroughs came when this happened. This right here happened.
Yeah, that's right.
Sitting in church, been in church with somebody for 10 years. Brother, I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That'll work, brother.
And I forgive you. And I just want us to have fellowship. Amen. Don't mean we agree, but I just want us to have, come back and reconcile. You talk about revival breaking out. God's people start getting right with one another. Husband and wife start getting right with one another. Brother and sister start getting right with one another. Families start right getting right with one another. This thing will bust wide open and go crazy. Matter of fact, that person you've been praying for 10 months that's lost, your prayer might get through. Because if you got hard feelings towards another, that prayer may be being hindered.
That's right.
Maybe that's the reason that prayer just ain't ringing the bells. It's because God's waiting on you to get right with your fellow man. And when that ever happens, you'll see revival break through. And tonight, if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, preacher, that's a hard message, and I know I probably need to do that, but sweep it under the rug, can't wait until tomorrow night. I hope God don't let you sleep a wink tonight. I'm serious. I hope you don't get a wink of sleep. I hope you can't eat. I hope He arrests you with such old-time conviction that at 3 o'clock in the morning you have to pick up the phone and you have to call your cousin that you ain't talked to in 10 months and say, I want you to know I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You say, but they done me wrong. I just want to tell them that I love them. And somebody's got to break the ice. Somebody, isn't it sad how many church people won't even speak to their own family? Isn't it sad how many church people, and something impressed me tonight. Pastor, you bring your choir over here, unselfishly come over here praying for revival. Hey, church is coming together. God's people coming together. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? But you got these people at this church won't speak to these people at this church. You got these people sitting in the left part won't sit talk to people sitting in the right part and blah, 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 blah. And I'm afraid God would call us just like He told the church at Corinth. He said, you're carnal. Why did He call them carnal? It was because they had divisions and quarrels among themselves. He said, you're carnal. You say, but preacher, what about right and wrong? They done me wrong. What about forgiveness? What about mercy? What about putting on vows of mercy? Kindness and long-suffering. What about if somebody tasted a little of that? And we left them in the hands of a holy God. Amen? I don't know about you, but there's no place. I don't want to be in prison. I want to be free. No greater place than being free. And there's a lot of you sitting here tonight. You come in here tonight thinking, boy, I wonder what he's going to preach on tonight. You had no idea this was coming. But may tonight we realize, hey, guilty, guilty, guilty. It's me. It's me. And Lord, tonight, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. Put on forgiveness. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. And let's finish this up. Colossians chapter 3, he says this. Verse number 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a command. Then he says this, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity means brotherly love. Isn't that wonderful? Put on love. That should be the characteristic of the church. What if we was to change the whole image? Satan has convinced the world that the church is this. A bunch of stiff, solemn people that look down our long nose and are judgmental and mad at everybody. What if we was to change it and convince the lost sinners in the lost world that we're a bunch of people that love them in spite of them? God so what? Love the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. 1 John chapter 4 says, how can any man say he loved God and hateth his brother? He said, he's a liar. So we put on that love, and that love radiates everything we do. What if your home was characterized by love and forgiveness and mercy? Think about that. What if your parent-child relationship was characterized by love, forgiveness, and mercy? Your marriage, love, forgiveness, and mercy. Church people, love, forgiveness, and mercy. You love forgiveness and mercy. You say, well, I ain't going to be a doormat. Bless God, I'm going to tell them like it is. Blah, 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 blah. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't have that attitude? I'm glad He had a totally different attitude. And that's the reason sinners come to Him. Because the Bible says, Psalms 86, verse 5, that God was ready to forgive. He just didn't have to be convinced. He was wanting to forgive. And we put on that love. And that love makes you, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, that love makes you serve one another. This is how you know if you're characterized by love. Be honest. When you see somebody, one of these two questions will come to your mind. What can you do for me? Or what can I do for you? Everybody you come in contact, one of those two things is going to come to your mind. And let's be honest, we live in a society, it's this. Me, 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 me. What can you do for me? What can you do for me? But we're supposed to be, what can I do for you? We're supposed to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what we are? We're servants of people. We're love. And in your home, we should serve one another, love one another. And in our society, love and serve one another. And that becomes our characteristic. Then before long, we got a bond. A bond. A bond of perfectness. You know, your preacher, you know, he's an all right guy. But I love him. And I believe God has joined us together and put a love between us. And there's one thing about our relationship, it's this. I asked him last night, I said, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? He said, you're loving my people. You're feeding my people. You're making me happy. Yeah. And you know what? He's constantly encouraging me. I send him messages about Mozambique. I send him stuff. He sends me stuff back, firing me up. I'm trying to let him know what's going on. He's encouraging me. That's what the bond is. You encourage, you serve one another. Encourage and serve one another. Encourage and serve one another. But if he's about him, then it's all going his way. That's self. Do you see that? But by love, you serve one another. And everybody in here, this will change our churches. You know, everybody in here, you're one of these two things too. You're either a consumer or a servant. You know what he did for me before church tonight? He took me out to eat. And we went out to eat, I noticed something. We sit there, and I sit down, and I waited on somebody to come serve me. And when they came, they asked me what I wanted. And I told them what I wanted, and I expect them to give me what I wanted. And I expect them to bring it on time. Why? Because I'm a consumer. Right? It's about me. But what if I come in church that way? See, a lot of us come in church and we sit down and say, feed me. Sing a song that makes me happy. Sing a song that stirs my emotions. shake my hand. Nobody came to shake my hand during fellowship. Nobody. Why? I don't know. But nobody came to me. They must not love me. They don't appreciate me. Matter of fact, I had surgery and preacher didn't call me. Me, 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 me. You know what your attitude should be about church? What can I do for you? If God sent you to Bible Way or God sent you wherever you go to church, you know why God sent you there? For you to go there and serve. That's why He sent you there. He didn't send you there for you to go get something. Because if you're serving other people, you're going to get something. Amen? By love, serve one another. He didn't tell me to say that. But I believe we need it, don't you? All right, so we put on those things. So follow me real fast. So we put on mercy. We put on kindness. We put on forgiveness. And we put on love. Guess what we now don't have? We don't have any family problems. We don't have any church problems. We don't have any people problems. They've gone away. Because we put on, we're ready. We're dressed and we're ready to interact with other people. Now we're ready. But then we're going to do something else. We're going to put a PS on this thing. You follow me? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Hey, where's that group at? That men? Where are they at? Come on up here, men. Come on up here. Where are they at? You, 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 and you, and you. Amen. Hey, do y'all know, oh, how I love Jesus? You can do it. Play it. Watch. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. You got mercy on tonight? Say amen. Amen. That means you're not going to be hard on people. That means when somebody does something you don't like, just back off. Show them some grace and mercy. Yeah. Amen. Put on kindness. Put on forgiveness. Verse 14, forgive one another. Then verse 14, put on love, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what you're doing now? Now you're getting ready to do something to make people really attracted to you. See, when you put on that stuff, forgiveness and mercy and love, people are going to start coming. And you're starting to love people. God's bringing them in your life. And you're reaching people. And you're out of the bond. You're out of the prison of bitterness. But look what he says here. He says, but he says, verse 16, admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what that is to God? It's a sweet smell. The opposite of praising is negativity. It's no pity party, but I'm thankful. In everything I'm in, God's good. See, in the Old Testament, when they used to offer up those meat offerings, when they used to offer up Noah after the flood, when they offered up those burnt offerings and meat offerings, the Bible says it was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. He liked that. He said, that smells good. The Bible even says in Ephesians chapter 2, look here, turn with me right fast, to Ephesians chapter 5, brother. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. Imagine this. God having a sweet smell when He smelled Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. And walk in love, there it is, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Listen, follow me. I'm going from this tonight. You're changing. Revival's about changing you. Watch. You're changing. You're going from bitterness and anger and that tension inside you. You're leaving that and you're going to forgiveness and mercy and compassion and kindness. But then you're going to, something's going to start rolling off your lips. And that's praises unto God. Talking about how good God is. And bragging on Him. And worshiping Him. And the Bible says, you know what that is? That's a sweet smell. And just that smell starts coming up. Instead of you talking about how bad life is. Instead of you talking about how many church problems you got. Instead of you talking about how bad somebody is and how much they've hurt you and how this and how that and how that. We start just bragging on the Lord. Bragging on the goodness. Smell that. I like it. You know what that is? That's bath and body midnight. Countdown to midnight. And it smells so good. You know what I do? I spray that on me. When I go around Sandra, I spray around there. You know what I've noticed? She gets real close to me. She said, that smells good. Why does that smell good? It's a sweet smell. I like it when my wife, when she goes in there to Bath and Body and gets all them lotions and body sprays and all that stuff. And then we get ready to go out to eat somewhere and she gets in the car and I'm, wow, that smells good. Sweet smelling savor. See the difference? And all of a sudden you want to be around that, do you not? You don't want to be around somebody that stinks, do you? Ain't nothing worse than a man that won't take a bath. And a woman that won't take a bath. Why? That's that negativity. That's that unforgiveness. That's that junk. And all of a sudden we're repulsive to people. But we get the, you know what? Who cares about that preacher that won't have me to preach because I know you? Who cares about that preacher that won't have me to come because I believe in eternal security? Who cares about them preachers that criticize us because we believe in missions? And who cares about this and who cares about that? All I know is I'm saved by the grace of God and God's been good to me and I'm living in America and I'm blessed beyond all measure and He give me a Bible to read and I'm just going to praise His name and forget about all that mess. It's a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. And all that stuff starts going up and going up and going up and I smell good to God and I'm attractive to other people and I'm free. And I'm free. You know what I invite you tonight to do? Come to the altar and put your clothes on. Put your clothes on. As the holy elect of God, put on something that God commanded you to put on. He commanded you to put on. Let God change your life tonight. He'll change it. Let's bow our heads. We're getting ready to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, how I love Him. There is a name I love to hear. And oh, how I love Him. Oh, how I love Him. But how can you say you love Him if you're mad at somebody else? If you got somebody else held in your prison of unforgiveness. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder who'd say, Preacher, you're right. There's hurt. There's pain. And it's real. Oh, it's real. And tonight with my head bowed in this revival, honest before God, I want to be free. And I want to put that unforgiveness in my heart. I want to put that on. By the help of God tonight, I want to do what God wants me to do. Ma'am, sir, would you just slip up your hand? Say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. 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 Who else? God bless you, sir. Who else? Preacher, my family, my friends, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I'm wounded. But tonight I want to be free. I want to get out of my bitterness. And I want to get out of my criticism. And I want to be free. I want to get ready. I want to get ready I want to get dressed, ready to go. Would there be another? Raise your hand. Just a minute, we're going to stand. You that raised your hand, you ought to make your way out of that seat. You ought to find a place in this altar and say, all right, God, I'm bringing them to Calvary. I'm bringing them to Calvary. Tonight, by your grace, I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. Would there be another? Raise your hand. Amen. Men, women, thank you for obeying the Lord. Let's just keep obeying God. This is what revival says. And maybe you need to find somebody in this church. Maybe you need to find somebody in your family. Maybe you need to go say, I'm sorry. Maybe you need to apologize. For somebody you've hurt, say, I'm sorry. Let's have revival for a few minutes. Amen. People's minding the Lord. Let's mind Him. Put on. Don't be that wicked servant in Matthew 18. Don't be that wicked servant. You've been forgiven an unsurmountable debt. You forgive them. Whatever they've done to you, it don't compare. It will never compare to the debt you owed Christ. It'll never compare. Today you can be free. We're going to stand. While we sing, you keep minding the Lord. Hey, people all over the altar, and you need to mind God. Mind God. Let's all stand and sing with them. Oh, how I love Jesus when they get there.